The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
We are still on our series, hashtag D. Who remembers the hashtag? What does DWH mean? Dreaming. Okay. If you have a phone, I'd like you to hashtag now what I'm going to say. Tonight we're dealing on healing emotional wounds. And then we'll be looking at dealing with the root of fear. We'll be handling beyond emotional wounds. And before we go on, I'd like us to, Pastor Uwe, please come. Can we just celebrate our leader, Pastor Ben? The Bible says we should give honor to whom honor is due. As we're seated. You know, someone can say, I don't deserve to be honored. No. He calls you his own. That's how much you're worth. Dreaming. So I will be talking about healing emotion or healing inner wounds or healing wounded hearts. However, we'll be talking. I'll be looking at the root of fear. I'll be looking at handling pain, handling lies, and all of that tonight. And we're doing it as if we're on a seminar. I won't just be preaching. I'll be coaching. I'll be training. And all of that is going to come together. Okay? Praise the Lord. In this family, in this particular family, we don't have members. We have brothers and sisters. It is an organization that has members. And if you're going to deal on relationship, if we are built, if this is a church, an apostolic movement, and this apostolic movement is we're gathering around fathers and mothers. And for us to be gathering, thank you, sir. For us to be gathering around fathers and mothers, we must have healthy people. If we are not healthy, we're going to use the knife we're supposed to use to cut yam. And use it to cut another person's heart. Knife is not bad. It is what you use for that is bad. Pastor Ben was teaching us, and he said, we're holding our hands fire, and we're holding our hands fuel. And he says, these two, they are not bad. It depends on what you pour it on. For instance, if someone is supposed to be on fire for the Lord and the person is not, the fire is going down, what should we add? Fuel. And then the fire comes up again. Knife is good, but what we use the knife to cut is where the issue is. Faithful is the wound of a friend. So we're looking at healing wounded hearts. The first thing we're going to be, he says, what our heart belief system truly believes or disagrees with. That's our first point. What our heart belief system agrees or disagrees with. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So, you can think with your head. You can think with your heart. And we want to, the first part of what we want to do this evening is to see how we can harmonize what is in our head with what is in our heart. I told you we're training, we're coaching and all of that. Okay. If you look at the scriptures, or if you ever looked at the scriptures, you must have seen all over the scripture that the Bible says God is love. Am I correct? Is that true? Did the Bible say God is love? Many of us believe that God is love or God is good because we have read it in the Bible. But in your heart, it doesn't feel true. I'm talking about in your real life experience, it doesn't, you don't recognize it as true. There seems to be a gap between your actual life experience and what the Bible says is to be true. Until our head and our heart agree, we will never ever come into dreaming with God. We will never come into the realization of our dreams. We will never ever begin to live our dreams. I had to ask Pastor Ben, why are you asking us to talk about wounded hearts in the middle of dream? And he says, broken people can't really dream. If you are broken, you can't dream. Romans chapter 10 from verse 8 to 10, he says, and what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. I don't know whether you're seeing that. And I want you to think with the two sides of your brain at the same time. And he says, that is the word of faith which we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, look at that two again, that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Verse 10, you see the two again. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The harmony that created the world is that what is going on in your head and what is going on in your heart must match with what is going on in your head. That is the only time you can begin to see your dreams manifest. If you look at this scripture, again and again, it's talking about mouth and heart. Mouth is sensory. It's a sensory organ. You're using it to sense something. So replace the word mouth with the word head. If your heart disagrees with what you know in your head, you will never realize your dream. For instance, the Bible says, we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. You know it in your head. But your heart may disagree with the fact that you are actually seated with Christ in the heavenly places. For instance, the Bible, you know in your head that we have the mind of Christ. That you know, that thing you know in your head, does your heart agree, truly agree, that you are really seated with Christ in the heavenly places? For instance, the Bible says you be the head and not the tail. Your head know that you are the head and not the tail. Does your heart agree with what is going on in your head? These are the issues that we are going to be looking at today. There seems to be confusion between our life experiences, that is the way we feel, the way we see, the way we hear in our lives, and what we are supposed to believe to be true. If we look at our bodies and look at our lives experiences seems to be a contradiction of what the Bible says is true. And that is a problem for so many people. So, there is a way I put it. Why is it that we come to church and then we confess the positive confession, we confess the word of God, but we are not able to sync the two together? That's what we're discussing this night. What is missing in the puzzle? Life is a big jigsaw puzzle. And for you to fix a puzzle, you must have the big picture. If you don't have the big picture, you can't fix the puzzle. Sometimes your life and my life seems as if one part of the puzzle that is supposed to make the entire picture to be complete is missing. For instance, Pastor Ben's picture is a puzzle. You have fixed the entire part of the puzzle, but you can't find the pieces that you put together to make the head. It's still not complete. What is this confusion that is on in our lives? Where did it come from? Why is it that this is what God said? This is our life experience. There seems to be something in the middle. This is what God said about me. This is what I'm like. This is my true, the fact. This is the truth. There seems to be something in between that is not allowing what God said about me to come to. There seems to be a puzzle that is not allowing what God said about me to come to pass. That's what we're looking at. If you understand that, we can continue. The third point I want to see you is, I want us to really look at the picture we have about God. Many of us, you say, oh, God is good, God is this, God is that. Yet, the picture you have of God is different from what you're saying. A lot of times, majority of us see God as one man that has a big stick waiting for you to make a mistake so that he can hit you. I will start using everything around me to show you. I was having an interview. I was just discussing with someone. They're going to do a church event. And the church event was such, it's such that everybody's going to stand under the sun from about six in the morning till about 3, 4. And this thing will be happening end of the year, that time that the sun was is so much. And I suggested to him and I said, why don't we get something that will cover the head of the people? And he says, no, that sun needs to beat them for God to answer their prayers. I say, oh. I say, how did you come with this theology? And I ask them, why is it that in Africa we believe it has to be hard for God to answer our prayers? And then I interjected and I said, did you drop your children in school this morning? He says, yes. I said, what did your children do for you to drop them in school? He said, nothing. I said, did you pay their school fees? He said, yes. I said, what did they do for you to pay their school fees? He said, nothing. And I asked him again, your children, have they ever misbehaved? He said, yes. I said, and they misbehaved, you took them to school? You didn't tell them, because you misbehaved, I won't pay your school fees. I won't take you to school. I won't buy clothes for you. I won't give you food because you misbehaved. You still did all of these things that you used to do in spite of their behavior. And I asked him, is it that you are more kind than God? And the Bible says, if those of us, you, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, what about our Heavenly Father? The picture we have of God in our hearts is different from what we know Him to be in our heads. And when we take you through inner healing, what we want to do is to see whether we can get you in touch with your inner core for you to answer the true question. So what we know in our head and what we have in our heart must harmonize for us to live in freedom. This is what we do in inner healing. In Mark 11 verse 23, it says, I say to you, whoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Ladies and gentlemen, again, what you say, what you have in your head, what you know in your head, and what you have in your heart is playing another role here. Many of us have traditions in our heads that contradict traditions in our hearts. But in your head, you have the Bible. So, you see, you are an Igbo Christian. You are going to church, but you still believe in the Osu caste. You know in your head, that in the Bible there is no Jew, there's no Gentile, there is no male, there's no bond, there's no free. You quote it, but what you have in your head still says that some people are Osu. I don't know whether I'm communicating. Am I talking to you? You are a Yoruba Christian or an Igbo Christian again. You know that from the word of God, the place of the woman, you know the place of the woman from the word of God. You know it in your head. Unfortunately, your belief system in your heart believes that the woman is a doormat. So, we all go through the world, two people are inside us. You know something different in your head. You have something different in your heart. Have you noticed that Pastor Ben will never allow them to call me Mrs. Pastor Mrs. Benson Ahigbe. She will say, no, she has an identity. Put her name. Her name is Kay Benson Ahigbe. On the last day, God is not going to say two of us, Oya, stand. Where is Mr. and Mrs. Ahigbe? Oya, Mrs. Ahigbe, come and answer your own question. In fact, he insists that you should put my picture on handbills. They put my picture, K. Benson Ahigbe. Then they put his picture, Benson Ahigbe. And I said, what is the difference? Are we not one? He said, no. Your name, K, is not thrown away. You took my name, doesn't mean that K is thrown away. So I can't address you as Mrs. Ahigbe. You still have an identity, and I don't want you to have identity crisis. But you know, that belief system, many of us fight it. Say, oh, their husband and wife, Mr. and Mrs. Benson Ahigbe. There is something in our head that is different from something in our hearts. Unfortunately, my brothers and my sisters, I don't want to preempt or rush this teaching. We just take it very slowly. Anywhere we stop. The thing that should be going on in your heart now is, why is it that the picture I have of God in my heart and the picture I have of God in my head is not the same? If you have answered that question, the next question you should now answer is, what is blocking the picture? What is blocking me from having one picture? You're supposed to have one picture. God is good in your head. You have God is good in your heart. God is love in your head. You have God is love in your heart. But so unfortunately, what we have is God is good in our head. In our hearts, God is very bad. Do you still love me this night? Are you sure? Oh, God is my father. He loves me. He's a good father. But in your heart, God is someone to fear. You have to fear him. Now, many people are afraid to come to God. You know why? You're not really sure what he will do to you. You know, if you give your life to Christ, some people say, I don't want to give my life to Christ because I know that if I give my life to Christ, I won't get it all right. I will make mistakes. And when I make mistakes, I don't want God to punish me. For this reason, we stay away from the only person who has capacity to help us. So I said, no, I'm not afraid of God. I don't know if you're afraid of God or whether you're not afraid of God until you get in contact, you connect with your inner core. That's why we ask you to do meditation. And that's why when we do our intense worship in this place, we want you to get into your inner core so that the questions of your life is truly answered. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, he said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. Anything you fear, you cannot love. You can't have intimacy with someone you are afraid of. And I'm going to show you the equation very shortly. I want you to have that at the back of your mind. Number 5, you can't have intimacy with anything you are afraid of. I want you to look at Pastor Ben. You are afraid of Pastor Ben. And you are at the reception and you hear that Pastor Ben is coming. What will you do? Did he pursue you? What you have in your heart pursues you. You can't really have intimacy with God that you are afraid of. So question is, you need to ask him. Everybody close your eyes. Say, Father, reveal to me the true content of my heart. Lord, show me my heart. Show me what is going on in my heart. In Jesus' name. Now, friends, the question, if you're coming, we are dealing with healing wounded hearts. The question is, who is God? Who is God to you? What is it that makes you not to understand the Father's love? Those are the issues that we're handling today. And how did you end up with a wrong image of Father God? I saw in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 that the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I saw that in the Bible. So ladies and gentlemen, it means that you are not the center of the story. It's not all about you. In the beginning, God simply means that when God was creating this world, he was thinking about himself. He was thinking about what he wants to do. But by the time he was done, he created you, and then he says, come and share in the relationship. You were created for intimacy. There is a relationship going on between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You were created to be a part of that relationship. He finished creating the world. He says, you are created for his pleasure. He created you to give him pleasure. Let us make man in our image. What is that talking about? He says, this is my child. This is my offspring. Someone that looks like me. Doesn't that sound like relationship? Your children look like you. God created us for intimacy. He created us to have a relationship with him. Thou art worthy to receive all glory, honor, for thou hast created all things for your pleasure. God looks at you. He says, Ebube, you give me pleasure. And then Ebube say, me? Give you pleasure? It's not possible. When we say you are created for relationship with God, then you look at yourself and say, me? Have relationship with God. It's not possible. You are not talking to me. But it's okay, you could be talking to someone else. Because your heart, your head, know that you are created to have relationship with God. But your heart says you're a worm. Your heart says that you're wretched. Your heart interprets your behaviors, interprets the circumstances, and says it's not possible that this mighty, mighty God created me, a little worm, to have relationship with him. So what do? You push him away. Say, I'm created for relationship. Does it? Are you comfortable with that? Now, say, I'm created for relationship with God. Is that comfortable? I'm created for intimacy with God. Is that comfortable? Close your eyes. Say, I'm created for intimacy with God. Is that comfortable? Is that comfortable? Is that comfortable? I love this scripture. I want you to see this scripture. It says, my prayer for all of them is that they will be of one heart and mind, just as you and I are. God wants all of us, Igbo, Asian, Yoruba, Ishekiri, Ijo, he wants all of us to share the kind of relationship that is going on between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then look at the amazing part. That just as you in me and I in you, so they will be in us, that the world will believe you sent me. God wants you to share in the relationship going on between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now let's try this out. It's uncomfortable. Let me have three of our pastors. The Father, the Son. I would have loved Pastor Ben to come. I want big, big people. The Father, the Son. Pastor John, I hope you're done. It's okay. And this is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So hold hands. You're having a discussion. You're having a discussion. I want you to bring Jesus. Onyemechi, come. Onyemechi, bia. Now, these people are having relationship. No, be discussing. Be discussing. They have relationship. Now, what I'm saying is, God says, I want you to share. Hold the Father. Hold the Son. I want you to share in this relationship. Thank you. Now, does that feel comfortable? The relationship going on between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when they are discussing, they want you to hear. Thank you, sir. The secret things belongs to God. The revealed things are for who? By a prophet. Why do they train you to hear from God? Intimacy. Intimacy is knowing intimately and being known too. The Father wants you to know him as Father, not as the man upstairs. Jesus wants you to know him as brother, not as just that man that died on the cross, the official Jesus, that's my Savior, my Master, my Lord. He wants you to know him as, and then the Holy Spirit wants you to know him as your friend, not as fire. The question, everything I said so far, you know it. It is getting your heart to agree that you can be invited up to have relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's where wounds start from. It's not a long teaching, it's just once I enter where the wounds start from, I'm done. Friends, would you agree to have a relationship with this Father, this relationship I'm talking about? That's what you were created for. But how did the problem come? Are we ready? The problem came here. Adam and Eve have been enjoying this relationship. Am I correct? The relationship was so intense that in the cool of the day, the Father will come down and then sit with them and say, "Hello, Adam, how are you doing? How is your wife? How was your sex life today?" Papa, please, you and Onyemechi will move around the church. That was what God was doing. He will come. Papa, hold her like your daughter. Beautiful. Oh, yeah. So, Adam, how are you doing? How is Eva? Is she okay? So, what's happening? What did you do today? Did you have so much work to do? So what happened with the lion? Did you try to find out what the lion needed? You see the way he's discussing with that. Some of us, your heart cannot accept this one I'm saying now. Because in your mind, the thing, according to my children, is too high for you. In your mind, the only thing God will discuss with you is your prayer life, your fasting. Yes. In your mind, that's all. That was what God was doing every evening. He will come. God looked forward to it. Remember that if you have a relationship with someone, you always look forward to spending time with the person. Good. So God always looked forward to coming down to come and spend time with Adam. So there was intimacy, there was relationship. Now, ladies and gentlemen, something happened somewhere. The Bible said Adam started hiding. What changed? Follow me. What changed? Did him and God quarrel? Him and God did not quarrel. But something happened. Someone came and lied to Adam and his wife. He deceived him with a lie. Please follow me very carefully. I want to tell you what changed. I'll soon drop the microphone out there. We're going to. God and Adam did not have, they didn't exchange words. They didn't quarrel. God didn't keep Adam malice. Adam didn't keep God malice. But all of a sudden, God came down for the normal routine. Adam is hiding. How many of us are hiding? Should I continue? I'm asking myself, what changed? God did not change, but something happened. The moment Adam's heart began to believe a lie, he became wounded. The devil walked up to Adam and simply said to Adam, lie to him, number one. The serpent was the craftiest of all the creatures the Lord has made. So the serpent came to the woman, really? Really, really? He asked. The serpent came to the woman, really? He asked. None of the fruits in the garden, God says you mustn't eat any of it. Of course, we may eat, the woman told him. Now, some of you are saying, why did the woman talk to serpent? She has been talking to serpent since. He and serpent had relationship before. So if you say, yeah. He has been talking to her since. Listen to me. Sometimes the people who lie to you could be your parents. Could be your pastors. It could be things that you know that are very normal. Let's go on. It's only the fruit from the tree at the center of the garden that we are not to eat. God says we mustn't eat it or even touch it or we will die. That's a lie. Satan, the serpent hissed. Now, the devil, Pastor Peter said, God lied. That's what the devil tells you every day about your health. The Bible says that his stripes you're healed. You know that in your heart. The devil tells you, head, you know it in your head. The devil tells you in your heart, God lied. If God did not lie, did you not have headache yesterday? By his stripes, were you healed? If God did not lie, did your sister not have cancer? Did God heal her? Did she not die? The Lord will supply my needs according to riches in glory. You remember that Eve knew what God said, Pastor John. Eve knew in her heart. The devil said, supply God, supply me. God lied. Now today, then the devil will show you all the Christians who are confessing God will supply all the needs and they are very poor. Now, if he shows you evidence, will you not be convinced? That's, yes. He won't come as, he may come with your father, like your father, and says you are a failure. And he's, he may come as a teacher in a school, in the class, and then use a body language that passes to you that you're a failure. He may come by your circumstances. You started a business, the business. He may come as a boyfriend who broke your heart. He may come as a mother who wanted to abort you in the womb and gave you the spirit of rejection. He may come in all those. So friends, let's go on. This is what changed. The moment they looked at the word of God, what was in their heart and what was in their head, the moment there was a disconnect, they got wounded. I want to show how the wound came. They began doubting God's heart. They began doubt, this God, let me say, I don't know if he trusts them. So this thing he told me is a lie. Now, he told me to come and serve him. Now I am serving. He told me to move to Lagos. I have moved to Lagos. The thing I moved to, I cannot see. I've been serving this God since I was 13. Now I'm 35. I don't have husband. Nobody is asking me whether they shared you to sell or they shared you for dash. Oh, Taiji, Kuya Nibu. Yes. Church, am I talking to you? Now, you look at your circumstances. It looks as if God actually lied. And then Pastor Ben will come here and say, I don't work for money. You're looking at him. Really? You can say that now. You can say, when you finish saying, you go to your office, someone will come and give you a seat. You can say that. Nobody give us a seat. We're in the marketplace. We know what we're talking about. We're saying reality. Am I talking to someone? Ladies and gentlemen, what changed? I want to tell you what changed. The moment the enemy lied to Adam about the heart of God, Adam's heart was broken, that God lied to him. It shifted. Remember that him and God had a relationship. He was wounded. By that lie came into his heart and broke the relationship. Broken relationship brings wound. And broke the intimacy. He became wounded. Now, once people are wounded, the first thing that happens is they start feeling like failures. The second thing that happens, once people are wounded, fear. Now, if you feel you have disappointed someone, now, eventually, when they recollected themselves, it's all of them to jump back into their identity. You know what they did? They said, oh, we have failed God. Now, everybody, follow me very closely. This is so practical. I want you to imagine that you have someone that you love so much, and then you fail the person, or you make a mistake, or you do something that will break the person's heart. What do you do when you see the person? Assuming Pastor Ben gave you money to go and buy equipment for church, for us to use in church. You reach a yaro, a 419 meet you, and collect the money from your hand. What will you do? No matter how wonderful the relationship you have with Pastor Ben is, you will start hiding by yourself. Fear will come. Shame will come. Once there is fear, once there is shame, you will start withdrawing. And once you are withdrawing, you will put up walls. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. My message is over. Anybody you love and you fear, I want you to watch somewhere. Anything that introduces fear into your life, I want you to check around that area. There is wound, there is fear, there is shame, there is withdrawal, there is hiding. And how can you hide from the only one that has capacity to take care of you? That's why many of us do not have any intimate relationship with God, because someone told you that you failed. And so today, I want you to close your eyes. Keyboard roll. Is there anywhere I'm believing a lie? Is there anywhere I'm believing a lie? Am I believing a lie about myself? Am I believing a lie about people around me? Am I believing a lie? What lies do I believe about my parents? What lies do I believe about my profession? If you're in this kind of profession, so and so, this is what happens to the people in this profession. Just ask the Lord to reveal to you if there are lies controlling your life. I want you to get in contact with your inner core. Get in contact with your inner core. Shamarataya malama shakaba. Sukabalaba shakatara makiara. Don't wait for me to do it for you, please. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to see that. I want to show you what the devil told Eve. He told him three things. Told them three things. Number one, God's heart is not good towards you. Number two, God is holding out on you. Look at, how can there be so much fun and pleasure and God tells you not to partake in it? How can, there is so much to do. There is so much you can go to. You can just waste your life on anything. It's life. You can waste your life on false comfort, pornography, addictions. Young people, the devil can lie to you that on a Friday night, the best place to spend your life is to find the most voracious and the most violent nightclub. And then when you get there, you can use coffin to order the worst kind of drink. And then you can take shishak and then even pull your clothes and do the unimaginable. The devil will paint all of that picture and then he tells you God is holding out on you. Because that's what he told Eve. He said, there is so much to eat here. How come he says you shouldn't eat it? The devil will offer you false comfort. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know, a lot of times, sexual addiction, moral failure is caused by false comfort. You are looking for comfort. And some other times, what you are looking for in the hands of women is the thing you didn't get in the hands of your mother. God is holding out on you. You have a dream, but the enemy says to you, when are you going to wait for this dream? This dream is going to take a long time. You don't need this dream. Just pick up this one. And then you pick up something for stomach instead of for passion. Are we friends? It's not a long teaching. We're going to have strong worship. What are you dreaming with? Your woundedness or your passion? Dreaming with heaven. What baited the dream? What is the root behind the dream? Your passion. God's heart is not towards you. It's not good towards you. God is holding out on you. Take things into your own hands. That was what I wanted to do. When you stretch out and take pornography, you are trying to comfort yourself. When you stretch out and take what does not belong to you, you are trying to comfort yourself. That's what it is that we're doing today. So the enemy, they believed in a lie. A lot of times, many of us trust the enemy. You trust that the word is true. This word is true. We tell ourselves, they know finish. Do you know that each time you believe a lie, the relationship and the intimacy you have with God will disconnect it? Because when you believe a lie, that God does not really he's not really a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's a lie. Once you believe that lie, you will become your own God. You will try to do things outside that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When there is a need to seek God, you won't. You will tell yourself, this one we are seeking, how does it translate into Naira and Kobo? You won't understand that those that dwell in the secret place are those who have something to say. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Most High. Then I will say, what you are going to say to your nation, you must get it from the secret place, otherwise it is the voice of an echo. There are echoes, there are voices. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Nigeria is in the wilderness. We need voices, we don't need echoes. We need to hear the people who are hearing what heaven is saying and dreaming with heaven to say the same thing. Once you believe a lie, you will become your own God. You will start taking care of yourself by yourself outside the system that God created. Once you believe a lie, you will manipulate, you will lie. Once you believe in a lie, you will use underhanded means. Once you believe in a lie, you will stretch out and take what does not belong to you, because you go into self-protect instead of God-protect. Many of us are trying to buy our future by ourselves. You can't buy your future with common sense. You will buy your future with God's sense. That's why the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. But if that relationship is replaced with a lie, the moment your brain shuts down, you disassociate. You say, oh, God is good. God is a supplier. He's a rewarder. God is faithful. God is my father. He's Jehovah Shammah. He's a great provider. You have all this in your head. You know it. You can rehearse it. You can quote it. But your heart says, don't mind God, though. He didn't provide for Pastor John. Oh. Don't mind God, though. He didn't provide for. You know, there is a lie. They say, if you're a pastor, pastors don't have children. In fact, when we didn't have a child, when we didn't have children, someone said to us, I think you should accept it as cross, pastors bear. He said, I don't think God wants pastors to be having children so that they will have time to take care of the church. And listen to me, you can believe this lie. Kabarosha. You can believe the lie that they know that, you know, in my place, and I know Fuebe, Ekirimon, the day they stay for one place, they look masquerade. So you look and from here, you go like this. You look and that is your slogan for business. They know they stay one place, they look masquerade. It's a slogan for business. Did God give you that slogan? Which chapter of the scripture, which verse did you bring it out from? Kabbalah Ocean. It's supposed to be that God gives you inspired thoughts on where the gold is hiding. Ladies and gentlemen, the business that Jacob did that changed his life and destroyed poverty, he collected it from the presence of God. Who told you he's only pastor? That's another lie. We have been lied to that he's only pastors and prophets and teachers that will wait in the presence of God to collect the word that they're going to use to do cure for desert places. Listen, many of you do cure for desert places in your businesses every month, but you have never received a word for that cure for desert places. You have businesses you are doing and you didn't have thoughts, says the Lord. And listen to me, and you're supposed to be operating under a party. Either you are in the party of heaven or you are in the party of hell. And if you're in the party of heaven, you can't do anti-party things. Many of us are involved in anti-party thoughts. You are using Igbo thinking and heaven heart. Igbo heart. And then you want God to approve. It's not possible. Look at another thought. And that thought says, you see, these days, they know finish. Oh, if you have a wife, you have someone you want to marry, you first of all go and check whether the girl can take him. Pastor John, there's a case I was handling. Everybody pray in the Holy Ghost. I want us to pray. Hey, sister, are you all right? There's a case I handled, very shocking case. The girl came to my office very despondent. Very broken. What is the problem? What is the problem? Tears everywhere. She was weeping. She was crying. I said, calm down. Let us discuss what it is. She met this believer, strong believer, talking in tongues, very committed in his church, working for the Lord, a medical doctor. So they went to, the man says, this is the woman I love, this is the woman I will marry. He's the only son. So they went to see the parents, committed believer parents, committed in the things of God. The parents say, because he's our only son, before we pay bride price, we want you to dig in. So they try 3 times. So each time it's her ovulation, the boy will come to her house. They are not married. I want you to see how many lies are in this one story. The boy tried 3 times. She didn't take him. They started fertility treatment. The doctor said, Mbana, where is your husband? He said, he said, your husband also has to come, Mbana, so that we will check your husband. The boy said, lie, I know myself. I'm a medical doctor. I have checked myself. There is nothing wrong with me. I'm a man. I'm diesel. Any girl I touch, go take it. The girl said, but the doctor said there's nothing wrong with me. Bring yourself, let them check. The boy refused. He said, I am a man. I'm diesel. I know what I'm talking about. I know how many girls have aborted for me. The father says, as long as you, in fact, we don't want this relationship again. Say, my son has been sleeping with you for 6 months, you didn't take him. Relationship discontinued. They have gone for another after testing free of charge. They have gone for another. Now, the girl's heart is broken. Now, look at what the boy said. The boy says to girl, real story. The boy now says to girl, before I will marry you in December, now that bring the money you have, let us pay for the house I have gotten. So two of us will pack in. But the marriage is in December. The boy has now said, since you didn't take in after 6 months, there cannot be marriage again. The girl said, now give me my money. He said, no. All is fair in love and war. The girl lost money. The girl lost in Mukindosh. Now. How many lies are in this story? Her relationship. Now, at the time she came, she says, I feel so ashamed that I can't look to the face of God. He said, I don't know how to go back into that place with God. I can't forgive myself. Her intimacy with God disconnected. Remember, God is not the one that is running from her. She is the one that is running from God. She said, I'm afraid of God. Have you noticed that the enemy will be the one that will sell a lie to you? And when he says a lie to you, he'll come and tell you. The devil will not say, you failed. You say you're a failure. Can't you see that you can't make good decision? Look at this boy now. You, who is a Christian? A Christian sister. Anywhere I walk. Jim sister. Anywhere I walk. Look at you now. You can't. The devil, she will think she's the one thinking. A collection of thoughts from the enemy. You know what those thoughts will do to her? It will produce shame. It will produce fear. She will behave like Adam and Eve. Adam, where are you? Adam came to shame. The intimacy which he had with her father, that they came together, they could play. You know what destroyed it? Woundedness. He has been wounded. And when the devil wounds you, he doesn't wound you in your achievement. He wounds you in your identity. He says, you know, the devil said to Adam, God knows that the day you eat it, you should see the scripture so that we can pray. Choir members, I think we should pray. I think you should see the scriptures. Okay. I want to read the scripture. I want to look at this discussion. God knows very well that the instant you eat it, you will become like him. For your eyes will be opened. You'll be able to distinguish between good and evil. The woman was convinced. How lovely and fresh looking it was. And it will make her wise. Was she foolish before? Was her eyes closed before? Was she not already like God? What the enemy attacks, the lie is attacked in your place of identity. That is the very core of who you are. That's what the devil fights. so that you can't be able to lift up your voice and call God. You feel worthless. You feel valueless. You feel there's nothing God can do with me. Even when I call him, he won't answer me. The moment such thoughts enter your head, you can't connect with God. You start hiding. How many Christians are hiding? How many of us are hiding because we made mistakes? This is just an introduction. We'd like to pick it up from here. Are you wounded? The summary of what I want to tell you today is, I want to show you that diagram. Next week, if we have opportunity, I'll be showing you how arrows carry lies. And once they are attached in your heart, until they are removed, you might not be able to dream. Let me show you what's the problem, what the real problem is. This is what God said. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. This is your identity. This is who you are. This is what God said. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. You are the righteous. You are royalty. This is what God said. But this is your experience. Your experience is, you are so poor, you can't afford anything. The enemy say, look at your father. He didn't work hard. Poor man. He died in poverty. Look at your grandfather. And then the Bible says, you are royalty. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. The enemy says, look at you. You were rejected at birth. Your parents, they didn't. When you are in the stomach, these messages hit your heart. When your parents are, should we give birth to Mandela? Should we not give birth to Mandela? Should we give birth to Mandela? Those messages hit your heart. So you come into this world with a heart that says, I'm a reject. You read the Bible. The Bible says you're a chosen generation. But there is already a wound that will not allow what is in your head to get into your heart so that you can know the truth and the truth will set you free. So, in the heart of many believers, you have something like this. There is a blockade. God is good. Let it now pass and enter your heart. There is wound here. There is abuse. There is rejection. So those things make the truth of God of no effect. Tonight, I want us to dream. But how can you dream when your dream is baited out of fear? How can you dream when your dream is baited out of an ugly experience you had? How can you dream when your dream is around a situation that did not work? I want to call you up. You can't dream a good dream. Have you noticed that in Nigeria, majority of us, our dream is stomach dream? They say Nelson Mandela's in prison. It's how we go. They say denounce this apartheid thing. It's how I rather be here. Some of us, it is a little dream you dreamt. Little dream. They say, Pastor Peter, how many people are in your church? 200 people. How much do you have at the end of every month? It's about 5,000 to 6,000. We can give you 1 million tomorrow morning. Just sell your church to us. The reason why Pastor Peter started the church before is for hunger. It's hunger. He's preaching with all his heart, but the dream is baited out of hunger. You see, Pastor Peter, he's contesting election. Nike. He's contesting election with all his might, with all his power. The motive is money! Money! The day he jumps into the, he said, you swear him in. He obey. People are thinking about Edo development. He's not thinking of, that's not why he came. This dream is money. He's dreaming with money. So when he comes, he said, come, where is the accountant? Say, where is my security vote? Say, Your Excellency, sir. Yes. We have so and so. Okay. Where is the security vote? That's why he went. Some politicians are laughing. They say, he's a motivational speaker. He says he's a motivational speaker. He's a motivational speaker. He said, you see, I have appointment everywhere. I have on Monday morning, I'm in Lagos. Friday night, I'm in Calabar. Wednesday morning, I am in River State. You check the motive. Money! I said, you are here when I told you my story. I prayed to God to give Sienna for me to carry children. I prayed that prayer. Nobody forced me to pray the prayer. I said, God, very real dream. I said, God, this one I can carry only small number. Give me Sienna. I will carry more. They brought Sienna here. I was doing inner healing. I had done inner healing for about 7 days. I was fagged out. I'm sure God brought that thing to say, my daughter, just thank you for this thing. I said, Daniel, now you go carry this girl. I said, Daniel, come. If you see the shout, I shout down for Daniel. Daniel was looking at himself. What? Me and you, I travel with you all the time. It is Sienna we are looking for. Go away, Sienna. I was the one that prayed. Nobody put the prayer in my mouth. Pastor Ben didn't say my word. No. When we use this thing quarrel, no. I said, Pastor Ben, I beg. Me and you never quarrel. No, let car, let us quarrel. No, let us quarrel with car. He said, what do you say? I said, I want jeep. He said, why do you want jeep? I said, I need to go back to that church. I need to go. And I must go home during Christmas. I must go home. Daniel will carry me. I'll stay behind. So that need one man of my brother, rise on your feet. As a wine. When I enter village, they will not say I don't come. Because I have calculated in my head how I will behave. I know the house of my uncle that terrorizes us most. If we reach in front of Jesus, I say, Daniel, wait. I say, Daniel, horn. That I have calculated what I will do with the jeep that have not come. I said, then they home well. When they come, I will touch the bottle. I said, nah, I can do. Hey! Say, dreaming with heaven. Lift your hands up to heaven. Say, Lord, I want to worship. Cut through me. Cut through me. Cut through me. Cut through me. I don't know whether I preached. I don't know whether you understood what I said today. Place your hand on your heart. We're going to take communion immediately, then we're going to start worshiping. Some young men went to train in Edo State. And 150 people are supposed to be trained. When they finish the training, they'll be giving money. They are the one that chose the training. Sir, we want to give jobs to people. These people chose the training, but they chose the. Say, this is. I want a job on so and so area. So based on that choice, they decided to give them training on the areas they want to give them a job. The training is not up to 1 hour. They say, I finish. Hey, we don't tire. They say, we don't want this training. It's the money behind the training. That's why we came. So they come for the training for coming sake. But at the end of 2 days, give us the money. That's how many of us dream. Why are you working where you're working? Why do you have the friends you have? Put your hand on your chest. I'd like you to tell God, say, Father, today I ask you to show me my heart. Lord, reveal to me the true meaning of my dream. Father, every orphan dream, circumcise my heart. Lord, cut through my heart. And show me my dream. I ask you today, as we pray with these songs, as we begin to worship with these songs, I ask you to appear like you appeared in Ezekiel chapter 1. Oh my God, and Ezekiel chapter 10. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.